time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. Happy New Week. I believe this is the 18th of June. God bless each one of you today. It's time now for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we come before you on this day, thanking you for giving us an opportunity to be able to open up your word. Now we pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. As always, we pray for grace and wisdom to continue to draw close to you and to help us in our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like to share in the morning. I usually do it before prayer, but this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That is Psalm 118:22 and Psalms 118:24 and Psalm 122, verse 1. It's time now for our opening song, and that is, the song is entitled, It's About Time, from the Master's Chorale.
It's about time for the coming of It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ for Him. It's about
It's about time.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are going to be talking about the first persecution, speaking of the first persecution on earth, the first persecution on the earth. And we're studying Genesis chapter 4 in our Bible study class, Preparing for Baptism. These are important topics. We need to understand the nature of how it is when you give your heart to Christ. There is persecution that comes. As a matter of fact, we're going to learn that the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. And as we read these wonderful stories and understand these biblical truths, that we will apply them to our lives, that you will help us to be faithful. Please, Lord, open doors for us that your name will be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, you need to understand, brothers and sisters, at this point, God had not revealed to them how many years would pass before the Messiah would come, but they knew that the Messiah would come from them. So you have to understand that they thought that when Cain was born, maybe he was the Messiah. But of course, they saw Cain's sin, and, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory. So Cain sinned and Abel sinned. But, you know, they saw two different characters developing in their sons. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So they basically did two different types of work. In verse 2, it said Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? And Abel, there's nothing wrong with being a tiller of the ground. That's a good thing, right? But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So, my brothers, what you see is that faith actually leads men to do what God said. Now, we don't have the command, but just by reading the story, it's very good. It's very clear, rather, that God had given commandment to bring an offering that would more represent his son's death on Calvary. And me working the ground and planting the seed and seeing what's growing and you know, I could easily see this is the work of my hands. Really not, but that's what you see. But there was no death. There was no spilling of blood. There's no reminder of the great sinfulness of sin. And so with Abel's offering, as he brought from the firstlings of the flock, that lamb had to be killed, which represents the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay? And so what you have here is people obeying God, and that's called righteousness by faith or obeying by faith. And you actually have disobedience, but that was spurned on or stimulated by the desire to have your own works, be righteous by your own works. You see, when people disobey God and go against God and do things that are not right, whether that be decide to worship on a day that God did not command, that's their own work. And God wants us to be worshiping him on his holy Sabbath day. You will find that eventually there's going to be persecution from those who don't obey God to those who obey God. That is what we're seeing here at the beginning, and it has continued. All persecution isn't necessarily murder. Sometimes it's just telling your people, stay away from these people, preaching from the pulpit, that they're lying on the pulpit, basically, telling people that they're under the law instead of being under grace. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. So what basically happened, we understand, is that God would send fire down to show his approval of the offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So brothers and sisters, when people do their own thing and they don't get God's blessing because of their sin, if they're not righteous and will not repent, they will get mad. So you're either going to repent or you're going to get mad, and you'll start persecuting those who are doing it right, those who are faithful. That's the nature of this great controversy. When Satan started in heaven and he came up with these theories, he mounted himself against the government of God. That's a type of persecution because God is in the right, and because God wouldn't submit to Lucifer's demands, he stood obstinate, and God had to remove him, but he resisted. You know, this is God's heaven. It's not your heaven. You should have left if God says, please leave. No, I'm going to fight you. So the persecutor was Lucifer, brothers and sisters. Same thing. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So, brothers and sisters, he said, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Cain had sinned. He had not obeyed. And in not getting God's blessing, he got mad at God and Abel, rather, and Abel, because the blessing came to Abel. He was warned. God came to him. Why are you mad? Sin lies at the door, man. You're about to do something that you ought not do because you're angry at your brother. But why are you angry? If you would do the right thing, you'll get the blessing too. Oh, that's so merciful. That's so merciful for God to tell him, to keep him from doing something that he would regret. And he didn't listen. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? So when you do that, you got to lie. You see, they didn't understand completely how powerful God was. God already knew. It's just like Adam and Eve walking, trying to hide from God. God is the creator of the universe. He's the sovereign. He knows everything. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Brothers and sisters, that is not a statement that says the blood was actually crying, okay? It's just a statement to indicate to Cain that God knows everything. The Bible says the living know that they shall die, the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward. The memory is forgotten. Their love, their hatred is perished. That's Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 6. Go to Job 14. Also, you'll read that, starting with verse 12. So that was a symbol that God gave. The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Okay? Because remember, people would say that if he was righteous, he'd be in heaven. So why would his voice of his blood crying from the ground? That's just a symbolic term. Say that I knew everything. I saw what you did. And I know where his blood was spilt. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. See, so that's why it's best to follow God and not end up being a persecutor and being angry with those who do what was right, because you're going to not get the blessing of God, my friend. And so while things might be going well for you now, you might be getting popularity because of your persecution, God does not approve of what you're doing. And when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now, he just murdered his brother. And he's upset because he has a life sentence. It's not death. His life sentence is that the ground won't yield to him anymore. And now that was his trade. That was his livelihood. He would just have to wander and not really be accepted of people. That's a life sentence before the murder. You see, sin brings punishment, brothers and sisters. And Cain understood the punishment, but he said it was too great because that deprived him of what he wanted to do. He was a tiller of the soil. And thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now, it's interesting. He's saying his punishment is too great because he'll end up dying. Now, what did he just do? He just killed his brother in cold blood. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, brothers and sisters, even though Cain had done wrong, God was trying to reach Cain. And so God showed mercy to Cain and put a mark on him. Cain at any point could have repented. I want to draw attention to the fact that sometimes when we see people in the wrong, we just want to condemn them. And we don't care about destroying them. And when I say destroying them, I'm including their reputation. They might be doing wrong now. They might be preaching wrong. They might be doing things. And we just kind of get sensational. We like to expose. We like to expose preachers that are preaching error and bringing things into the church, and we expose them to the world. Now, if we want to contact them, that's good. Contact them and say, show them the spirit of prophecy in the Bible. You know, if there was a way of contacting folks in the movement and saying, listen, you know, we shouldn't be doing this, but to put it out there on YouTube where everybody sees it, it's not really the spirit of God, my friends. It's not. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not the spirit of God. God actually kept, love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful to make sure that, you know, we can sometimes do things and say things and preach things and teach things and write things that are sensational. And God wants us to be careful. Be careful. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Be careful. Because sometimes the end result is not always bringing glory and honor to God. That being said, brothers and sisters, when we do what is right, we have God's blessing. Persecution is here. It comes in different ways. Again, sometimes it's just preachers teaching people to not have anything to do with you. Sometimes, but it will lead to physical harm, or at least the threat of physical harm. But I want to leave you with a scripture. It's 2 Timothy 3:12, and it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is because the devil is angry about Sabbath keepers. Devil is angry about people who are living by the principles of righteousness, right doing, by faith. And he is angry with Jesus still, and so he takes it out on us. He does everything he can to stop people from living right, so he makes it hard for you through persecution. But those who endure get greater blessings, and he will have greater condemnation. Let's be faithful today. Let's be faithful this week. God is good. We love you. Let's be continual in our walk with the Lord and faithful. Father, be with us now. We thank you so much for all that you've done. We ask that your name be glorified. We pray that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh upon us, and that your Spirit will truly bless us. We thank you for all you've done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is good, my friends. It's time now to transition to the wellness segment of the broadcast. We do so with the torso song.
One, two,
there's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can't stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to torso, north of
No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Our topic is the role of demons in health and sickness. The role of demons in health and sickness. We're reading from Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, and the Bible says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. So what was the condition of the man? He was possessed. Now, you need to understand possession. There are different levels of attack that the enemy has. Go to them. Let me just see if I can walk you through this real quickly. Give me a second here. There it is. Okay, give me a second. Okay, I think I'll be able to find it with that word. Okay. Now, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. What you need to understand is principalities are lies, because Satan is the father of lies, John 8:44. So because the principality is those who were first, what did he do first? He lied. So Satan's first line of attack is to lie to you, okay? The second line of attack is powers. Now, you know what the strength of a temptation is like. It's an urge, a strength. That's power. So when he lies to you, then once you listen to the lie, he can tempt you. When that lie first comes, if you say, get thee behind me, Satan, you don't have much of a strength of temptation. But he comes in the second stage with a powerful temptation. Then, if you give into that temptation, he gains control over you, okay? And the more you do it, it just grows. That strength grows. And eventually, it ends with spiritual wickedness in high places. You will be possessed by the devil. Okay? Doesn't mean you can't be saved. We're seeing that in this story. But I want you all to understand that the devil works through lies, temptations, control, and possession, okay? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. What are they again? They are lies, temptation, control, and possession. That's how he works, okay? So because this man in Matthew 12:22 was possessed, he had been listening to the lies of the devil. He had been tempted by the devil and given in. He had gotten controlled by the devil, and then now the devil possessed him, and so he didn't even have control over his faculties. Doesn't mean that the devil can take your will and your desire for Christ. But it says, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. So it shows that this possession included a sickness. The man could not see. The man could not talk. Okay, so it affected his nervous system. That affected his eyes, and it affected his whatever nervous/respiratory muscular system, and so he could not speak. And he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. So my brothers and sisters, this verse, and it's interesting, right after that it says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. A lot of people don't know what the unpardonable sin. Some people think the unpardonable sin is murder. Some people think the unpardonable sin is adultery. Brothers and sisters, all you have to do is read the life of David. The unpardonable sin is not adultery, and it's not murder. David was both, and yet he wrote the Bible. He was a man after God's own heart. He is going to be in heaven. He was a godly man. He was a prophet. So God, one of God's prophets was an adulterer and a murderer prior to getting converted fully. And so we see here, brothers and sisters, that when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. The unpardonable sin, I'm not going to read all these verses, and we'll get back to the health side, but Jesus addresses them. He talks about if Satan cast out Satan, how could he, you know, and if one enters into a strong man's house and spoils his good, he must first bind the strong man. He's basically showing them that what they're saying doesn't make sense. Why would Satan cast out Satan when if Satan's got somebody that builds up Satan's kingdom, why would he tear his own kingdom down? But what I want to draw your attention to is after he gave that explanation, he helped us to understand the nature of the unpardonable sin. It's not a single act. It's a process of rejecting the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says, wherefore I say unto you all manner of sin, and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, I really want to draw your attention. It says all manner of sin and blasphemy. It didn't say every sin and blasphemy or this sin. It's a manner of sin, a kind of sin. So what is the kind of sin that is against the Holy Ghost? The kind of sin that's against the Holy Ghost, since he's wooing you day by day, moment by moment, the manner of sin that is called blasphemy is when you reject the continual pleadings of the Holy Spirit. That is the manner of sin that will not be forgiven, brothers and sisters, okay? And notice what it says in verse 32. It even says even more. Whoso speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh again. Now, in other words, it's not just one word. It's a process. So these two verses, these two words, just speaketh against in comparison to speaking a word against Jesus. But we speak against the Holy Spirit. It's a process of continual rejection. And we also have the manner of sin phrase in verse 31, shall be forgiven. But the blasphemy against, the blasphemy is a different manner. It is a process of rejecting Christ. So be careful, brothers and sisters, that when you start seeing something, and you be careful that you don't call good evil and evil good, because it leads to blasphemy. Okay? That's what it leads to. Now, the first time you do it, you're not blaspheming. Okay? But as you continue to see something positive, but you call it evil, Holy Spirit's going to try to reach you, and he's going to keep trying to reach you, and he's going to keep trying to reach you, but eventually, you know, it won't happen. So getting back to the story, brothers and sisters, of what we were talking about, if you have demonic influence in your life, it can cause sickness. That's the point we want to make. The man was possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. When Jesus healed him, the blind and dumb both spake and saw, so he cast that demon out. The devil, when he possesses you, he has control over your faculties, your nervous system, so on and so forth. He cannot take away your desire to have Jesus in your life. Many people who have been possessed have been delivered from possession because they chose and they wanted Christ. They might have been able to open their mouth and demons spoke through them, but God would, that's the difference between God and man. God reads the heart. That's why you read in John chapter 4, when the nobleman asked Jesus to come down and heal his son, and Jesus kind of spoke abruptly. He said, if you don't see a sign or a wonder, you're not going to believe. And that just kind of sounds abrupt to a simple request. Jesus, would you come down and heal my son? If you don't see a miracle, you're not going to believe. That just doesn't even sound like that's the right kind of response. But you know why it's the right kind of response? The man with his mouth was saying the nice thing. Sir, would you please come down and heal my son? But in his mind, he said, if he doesn't heal my son, I'm not going to believe in him. So Jesus answered what he said in his heart, not what he said with his mouth. He ignored what he said in his mouth, and he answered what he said in his heart. Oh, if you don't, what you just said in your mind is, if he doesn't do this for me, I won't believe. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, God answers us, but he answers what's in our heart, not what comes out of our mouth. Now, that is a beautiful thing, because in the sense of the nobleman, it helped him be converted, because he realized that Jesus was God, because nobody else could read his thoughts. But it's also a beautiful thing that a person can be shouting and yelling and cursing because they are possessed with a devil, but in their heart they're hurting and they're crying out for Christ. You need to understand that as a Christian, because sometimes God has people crying out and lashing out, and God wants you to walk up to them and give them a hug. God wants you to walk up to them and tell them Jesus loves them. Now, they just cursed at you, just cursed you out of whatever, and you're tempted to just have nothing to do with them, beat them up, whatever. And God wants you to tell them, God loves you, brother. God loves you. I've had that experience, brothers and sisters, where somebody lashed out at me and I did that and they burst out in tears, because that wasn't them speaking. That was the devil. But you see, you have to be Christ-like to be able to understand, and God has to tell you, this person is hurting, okay? Because man looketh on the what? Outward appearance. God looketh on the heart. So friends, some people who have hypertension, some people who have cancer, some people who have diabetes, some people who have many different conditions, there is an evil spiritual influence in their life. And we must understand that. That's why true healing is whole. Jesus said, will thou be made whole? Now, they call it holistic. They took the W out and they call it holistic, but they basically mean you've got to address them spiritually, mentally, and physically. In that sense, they're correct, but they just deny the God of the Bible. So that's why we don't go with their type of holistic medicine, in the sense that many of them are into New Age philosophies and things of this nature. We believe in biblical wellness. That's our system of healing. That's a system of healing from the Bible, and that's what we practice, my brothers and sisters. So I will simply say to you that when you deal with your own self and your own health, make sure that you keep spiritual influences all around you. And when you help other people get well, make sure you keep spiritual influences all around them and help them grow. And even if you have to lovingly tell them that they have to give up some cherished sin. You know, I had a conversation with someone just yesterday, and I could tell the person was drinking, but the Holy Spirit did not tell me to confront them with drinking, but they were calling me about a sickness, and I could say to them, you've got to make sure you're not drinking any alcohol. Oh, yeah, I got that. My life is good, you know. The reality is they were drinking. But I didn't come out and say, are you drinking? But I did say, okay, so you're saying you don't drink alcohol at all? I just, you know, that's just, you know, talking about their lifestyle. Well, I got to be honest with you. I do drink a little wine. Yeah, you were drinking right when you talked to me. But you see, God is gentle. He doesn't want us to, hurt somebody's feelings. God is so wonderful, friends. He's like that. We need to learn a lot from the lovely Jesus and how he dealt with people. He didn't take Simon, who had gotten Mary Magdalene involved in whatever she was involved in. It was deep, brothers and sisters. A woman can't have seven devils without having sexual sin. I don't believe so. I don't believe a woman can have seven devils. That's a perfect number of devils without having sexual sin. I do believe Mary Magdalene was that woman caught in the very act of adultery. And it took a while. Jesus had to cast all seven of the demons out. But when they were all out, she was so in love with him that she poured her life savings on his feet to anoint his body before his death. He was converted, brothers and sisters. And God honored this woman by letting her be the first one to see Jesus when he was resurrected. Why aren't we told she was the woman? You probably didn't know that. The Bible never says she was the woman caught in the very act of adultery. That's because God knows how we are about sexual sin. We tend to condemn that one, and we'll let a murderer be a preacher. But if somebody committed adultery, oh, man, they're condemned for the rest of their life. That's a Pharisaism that is in us. God knew that about us, so he did not expose. We don't know who that woman who was caught in the very act was. But Simon, we read in the book called Desire of Ages, got her involved in whatever she was in. He was a relative. He got her involved in whatever she was in. Brothers and sisters, I don't believe a woman with a perfect number of devils can be free from sexual sin. A man can't either. I'm not picking on women. I don't think a man with a perfect number of demons can be free from sexual sin, because it's one of the most powerful urges that we have. The most powerful is the urge to eat. The second most powerful urge that human beings have is the sexual urge. It's not always sensual. Sensual has a negative connotation, but because it can be our righteous process in a marriage, but the point being made is that it definitely is something that the enemy takes advantage of. So most likely she was the woman caught in the act. Most likely she was the prostitute of the priesthood. She dealt with the high level people in the church. She just wasn't a streetwalker, and they passed her around, and she could be discreet. She wouldn't tell their wives. So she serviced the Sanhedrin, basically. That's how they were able to catch her in the act, but they were able to frame her. You don't catch people in the very act, brothers. That's so hard. I mean, yeah, you've had stories about how a woman might say, my husband's gone to work and he might be suspicious, or that day he comes back home from work. But most of the time, people who are fooling around, as they say, they go somewhere that nobody's going to find out who they are. And where they are, some hotel room or something. Very few people get caught in the very act. Most likely this is just evidence that they set her up. And notice they didn't drag the man out. They drug her out, half naked, probably wrapped in a sheet or whatever. And Jesus, what did he do? He started writing in the sand. And one by one, those Pharisees and Sadducees left. And they left in order. They left in order. The Bible says they left from the oldest to the youngest. I believe Jesus started with the oldest and gave the date, time, and place that you abused this woman. And then the next one, because it is abuse, if you engage with a prostitute, that's a type of abuse, because you're keeping them in that cycle because they're wanting the money. They're not interested in anything else. And so it's a type of abuse. And the prostitute is abusing that man's family, because you know that you're using your body just to get some money. So we're abusing each other. When that happens, brothers and sisters, I believe he started with the oldest and wrote on the sand. You had her on Monday, and this is the hotel you were in. And then to the next oldest, you had her on Tuesday, and this is the hotel you're in. And to the next oldest, you had her on Wednesday. And you know what I did? Because the lovely Jesus is so awesome, because it was in the sand, once the man who was the oldest, I believe he erased that, because he's not trying to expose him. He's trying to convert him. I believe he erased what that man had done. And then when it came down to the next one, when he saw what it was, I believe he erased it. You know, but I can't say that. Those are things that the Bible doesn't tell us, but it does tell us. He wrote in the sand. It tells us they left one by one from the oldest to the youngest, and there was nobody to condemn the woman. And Jesus said to the woman, where are those thine accusers? She said, I see no one. She thought the stones were getting ready to come. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I believe that was Mary Magdalene. I believe God does not tell us that, because we have such a judgmental attitude towards sexual sin. And so he just covers that. And so God is so merciful, brothers and sisters. And we need to understand that demons in various forms. And sometimes you can have a sexual demon. Sometimes you can have a food addiction demon. These demons on us, brothers and sisters, they do bring disease. And sometimes when you just can't overcome something, you need to say, Lord, I know I have a demon afflicting me. I need your help. Call it what it is. What it is, brothers and sisters. And we've already learned in our message. So those of you who've come late, go back and read. We learned that when the Bible says that God deals with, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's lies. Powers, that's temptation. Rulers, that's satanic control. Spiritual wickedness in high places, that's full possession. So the devil can't just come and take over. It's in stages as we listen to the lie, and we are succumbed to his power, and he has control, and then he fully possesses us. But God has given us the victory. Remember, Ephesians 6, where we read that, was talking about the armor of God that gives you the victory over principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. So the point being made is that when you are sick, there are demons that can afflict you. And we have to address spiritual things in our lives. Make sure you're not doing anything that is spiritualistic. Get all the Ouija boards out of your house. Don't just say, oh, we just play with them. No, no, no. That's evil. That brings sickness in your home. You know, some people buy these African artifacts with all these, you know, masks of that are used in spiritual wicked rituals and seances and stuff. Get that stuff out of your house, brothers and sisters. That's not good art. Okay, don't look at that as good art. If you got an angry mask that would be naturally used in a voodoo type of a situation, and you picked it up from Africa and it was hand carved, and you can have all those excuses. That's demonic stuff. Get that stuff out of your house. It can bring illness to you, brothers and sisters. So you don't want to have symbols of that you give the devil place in your home. You know, watch the music you listen to. I don't listen to music with that music that you would listen to in the club, even if it has Jesus' words in it. It can bring sickness into your home. It can invite demons into your home, brothers and sisters, because that's the music that the devil's a musician. Bible says it. It talks about his pipes. He had musical instruments in his throat. He's a musician. The devil used music in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. The music played, and they had to all bow down to the statue. The devil uses music. And so, you know, just make sure that your house is clean of evil influences, brothers and sisters. Turn off Disney and other stuff on TV, things that promote life after death, because that's spiritualism. There is the life after death is at one or two of the resurrections. Okay, that hasn't happened yet. So when you start watching stuff and there's spirits and you start watching things that deal with seances and tarot card readers and all this stuff, watching horror movies or just even watching good witchcraft, you're bringing demons into your house and it can affect your body. So that's our message for today. And we're going to open the phone lines at this time. We've got about 11 minutes to the top of the hour. God bless each one of you. And roll call time, and we'll start with Facebook. I don't know where everybody's from, but we normally, if we know where you're from, we'll just give your state. We have North Carolina, and he says, happy Sunday. We've got South Carolina. We've got the country of Kenya in Africa wishing us some good morning blessings. We've got a dear sister begins with an M. A dear sister begins with a J. I think I know who that person is, but I have to go back. But anyway, God bless you all. So I'm not sure where you're from. And on the call, we have Ohio again. We have Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Ohio, and we have Georgia. If there's someone that has a comment or question, please press star 6. We'd love to engage with you. And if you have a comment on Facebook, just type the comment. We'll read it and answer it, address it. We'll give you all a little bit of time. I'm actually looking up something here on Facebook to see if I can find, if it might help me to know what state people are in. Nope. Don't know what state necessarily. Let me see if it says anything. So, anyway, God is good. Friends, if there is anyone that likes to share, press *6. If not, we'll go ahead and have our closing prayer by my wife, undreamed of, Sister Maria. I will ask her if she'll have our closing prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us fresh manna from heaven this morning, and that we continue to study these things out for ourselves, asking your spirit to continue to lead, guide, direct, and instruct us. And Lord, we pray for everyone on the line, asking that you would bless every heart in a special way. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you. And happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our closing song from the Master's Chorale is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust you.